Hello and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Mike Moret, and this is our fifth study in the book of Deuteronomy. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. It is the fifth book in the Old Testament. Now, as we come to chapter 2, verse 35, which is where we will pick up our study today, the Israelites are getting close to the promised land, and Moses is leading them, and God was instructed to send an offer of peace to a king by the name of Sihon. He was king of a place called Heshbon. He just wanted to be friends with them. Let us pass around your country on our way to the promised land, and if we eat anything or drink anything that belongs to you, we certainly expect to pay for it. It was just a very friendly letter. Well, it was not received in a very friendly way because the king brought out his army to attack, and the Israelites fought back, and they won. And we pick up our study in verse 35 of Deuteronomy chapter 2. Actually, let's begin reading in verse 34. It says, "At that time, we took all his towns and completely destroyed them, men, women, and children. And it says that we left no survivors, but the livestock and the plunder from the towns we had captured, we carried off for ourselves." Now, Israel did not start this war, and they did not fight the war for the wealth of Heshbon. Nevertheless, when it was over, they did take that wealth, and there wasn't anything wrong with that. Verse 36, "From Aroer on the rim of the Arnon Gorge, and from the town in the gorge even as far as Gilead, not one town was too strong for us. The Lord our God gave us all of them." Moses is quick to give God all the credit. It was the Lord's power and the Lord's blessing that brought them this success. Verse 37, "But in accordance with the command of the Lord our God, you did not encroach on any of the land of the Ammonites, neither the land along the course of the Jabbok, nor that around the towns in the hills." And so they didn't do anything. The Israelites didn't do anything the Lord had forbidden them to do. Life really doesn't have to be complicated at all. Do what God commands, and don't do what he forbids. Let's go into chapter 3, verse 1. "Next we turned and went up along the road toward Bashan, and Og, king of Bashan, with his whole army, marched out to meet us in battle at Edrei." Now, Og, the king of Bashan, marches out with his entire army, and he marches about 6 miles from the capital to the city of Edrei. Now, this is going to be an all or nothing battle as far as Og is concerned, because he's bringing his whole army out to confront Israel. Verse 2, "The Lord said to me, 'Do not be afraid of him, for I have handed him over to you with his whole army and his land. Do to him what you did to Sihon, king of the Amorites, who reigned in Heshbon.'" As Og is marching with his army toward Israel, God is reassuring Moses that all will be well, and so there's no reason to be afraid. There are plenty of good reasons to be afraid without being afraid for no reason at all. And God doesn't want Moses or the Israelites to be afraid of this big army of Og, the king of Bashan. Verse 3, "So the Lord our God also gave into our hands Og, king of Bashan, and all his army. We struck them down, leaving no survivors. Not one of the enemy survived. Every last one who dared to fight against the armies of the living God was slain with the sword." 4, "At that time we took all his cities, There was not one of the 60 cities that we did not take from them. The whole region of Argob, Og's kingdom in Bashan. 60 cities surrendered when they heard that the army which was supposed to protect them was wiped out by the God of Israel. Verse 5. All these cities were fortified with high walls and with gates and bars. And there were also a great many unwalled villages, and so much for the protection of walls, which the Israelites seemed to be intimidated by, at least in the past anyway, didn't do these people any good because God was against them. And we can carry that right over to today. The defenses of a nation are important, but they are also worthless if that nation doesn't have God's blessing. 6. We completely destroyed them, as we had done with Sihon, king of Heshbon, destroying every city, men, women, and children. They took the cities, and they destroyed all the people, including women and children. And it was not murder. It was commanded by the Lord himself. And I do not fully understand it all, but I know that God is just. And I know that he is patient. And I know that the truly innocent went to paradise are with him today. Verse 7. But all the livestock and the plunder from their cities we carried off for ourselves. The Israelites are obtaining wealth as they head for their new home. The Bible says that the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. 8. So at that time, we took from these two kings of the Amorites the territory east of the Jordan, from the Arnon Gorge as far as Mount Hermon. Hermon is called Sirion by the Sidonians. The Amorites call it Sinir. Well, the Israelites made quick work of their first two conquests. They defeated Og, the king of Bashan, and before that, Sihon, king of Heshbon. And so now Israel controls that part of the area which borders the Holy Land. And they're sitting pretty good right now, poised to enter. Verse 10. We took all the towns on the plateau, and all Gilead, and all Bashan, as far as Saleka and Edrei, towns of Og's kingdom in Bashan. This was a very fertile land that Israel now possesses. In fact, it is so rich that a couple of Israel's tribes will ask to settle there permanently. They won't even desire to go into the main part of the promised land. Verse 11. Only Og, king of Bashan, was left of the remnant of the Rephites. His bed, that is, Og's bed, was made of iron and was more than 13 feet long and 6 feet wide, and it was still in Rabbah of the Ammonites. Takes a big man to fill a big bed like that. Og somehow seems to be a fitting name for this fella. And I think now we know why Og was made the king of the Ammonites. You know, he was the only one left. He was the only one left of that race of giants, so-called. The Ammonites found when they took possession of that country, he was the only one that was left. And I suppose his tremendous size may have been, in part anyway, why they made this man king. But he's dead now, along with the rest of them. In verse 12, of the land that we took over at that time, I gave the Reubenites and the Gadites the territory north of Aroer by the Arnon Gorge, including half the hill country of Gilead together with its towns. Now, Moses gave that land to the tribes of Reuben and Gad, but with certain conditions that we're going to see in a few minutes. Verse 13 through 17 describe how some of that land east of the Holy Land that they have just conquered was divided up. So we're not going to read that. We're going to skip down to verse 18. Moses says, I commanded you at that time, the Lord your God has given you this land to take possession of it. But all your able-bodied men, armed for battle, must cross over ahead of your brother Israelites. And so the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh could have that land, the land of the Amorites, which was just described, the land that they took from Og and Heshbon, those two places. They can have that land, which was east of the Holy Land, the main portion of the Holy Land. They can have it with this condition. Those 2.5 tribes must cross the Jordan with the rest of Israel and help their brothers conquer the main part of the Promised Land. And that's only fair. Their brothers help take the land that they're going to live in, so now it's only right for them to repay the favor. Verse 19. However, your wives and your children and your livestock, I know you have much livestock, may stay in the towns that I have given you. They're crossing the Jordan, these 2.5 tribes, to fight, not to live, so their families and their possessions can remain with their servants in the land that they will live in, and the servants will protect them while the men are over fighting with their brothers. Verse 20, until the Lord gives rest to your brothers as he has to you, and they too have taken over the land that the Lord your God is giving them across the Jordan. After that, each of you may go back to the possession I have given you. And so notice how the Holy Land is called the rest. It is the rest. If the Israelites remain obedient, all will go well, and they will have a nice, comfortable life in that land. Verse 21. At that time I commanded Joshua, you have seen with your own eyes all that the Lord your God has done to these two kings. The Lord will do the same to all the kingdoms over there where you are going. The victories over the Amorite kings were just a sample of things to come in the Holy Land. And Joshua needed to hear this from Moses, because Joshua will lead the nation into the land, not Moses. Verse 22, Moses says to Joshua, do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God himself will fight for you. And even good men who are full of faith need encouragement at times. And here Moses reminds Joshua of God's past performance and his promises for the future in order to encourage Joshua. Verse 23, at that time I pleaded with the Lord. And so about the time that Israel was getting ready to go into the Promised Land, Moses was told by God that he would not get to enter. He wouldn't be going in because of a sin that he committed. And that was really a hard pill for Moses to swallow. Moses really wanted to see this thing through to the end. He wanted to reach the Holy Land. And as a result, Moses prayed in verse 24, O Sovereign Lord, you have begun to show to your servant your greatness and your strong hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do the deeds and the mighty works that you do? Moses had seen God's power in delivering Israel from Egypt. He saw God's power when God parted the Red Sea. And he saw God's power when God fed the people the manna all those years. But the thing that God had begun doing was the biggest thing of all. With the defeat of the 2 Amorite kings, the Lord has begun giving his people the land that the Israelites had been waiting for centuries, 400 years. 25, Moses says to God, let me go over the Jordan. Let me go over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, that fine hill country and Lebanon. Moses would be happy just to be able to enter that land and to look around for a while. You know, even the simple things of life, even in the simple things, there is satisfaction in finishing what you start. And so how much more for Moses in this holy journey that began 40 years earlier? He really wants to finish the job. He wants to go in and see it. 26. But because of you, the Lord was angry with me and would not listen to me. That is enough, the Lord said. Do not speak to me anymore about this matter. The answer is no. And it won't pay to ask again. See, Moses had disobeyed God in front of the people. Moses' sin was public, and now the punishment will be public as well. All will know that God didn't tolerate his disobedience simply because he is Moses. God is no respecter of persons. 27. Go up, God says, to the top of Pisgah, and look west and north and south and east. Look at the land with your own eyes, since you are not going to cross this Jordan. Moses is 120 years old here, but his eyesight is still very good. And probably with the help of some supernatural sight given by God, Moses was allowed to view all of the Holy Land. And what a bittersweet experience this must have been for him. Joy over it, actually seeing the land, but sadness knowing that he would never get in, at least not in his lifetime. Verse 28. But commission Joshua and encourage and strengthen him, for he will lead this people across and will cause them to inherit the land that you will see. Moses can't enter, but he is told to once again encourage the one who will, and that is Joshua. This is not a time to be concerned about himself. Moses must set self aside. He must set self aside and help Joshua. Joshua needs Moses right now. Verse 29, so we stayed in the valley near Beth Peor, and this will be the area where Moses will eventually be buried. Father, teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Let the beauty of the Lord our God rest upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Until next time, when we pick up our study in Deuteronomy chapter 4, this is Mike Murrett, for Scripture Verse by Verse, reminding you to stay in the Word and stay in prayer. Until next time, so long, everyone.